1212. This is Senor Chaos, aka Gauss. You are now tuned in to Hip Hop Digest. Turn it up, man. Act right.
Congratulations.
Here's your graduation present.
What for? I got pinched.
Everybody gets pinched, but you did it right. You told them nothing and they got nothing.
I thought you'd be mad.
Man, I'm not mad. I'm proud of you. You took your first pinch like a man, and you learned the two greatest things in life.
Well,
look at me. Never rat on your friends, and always keep your mouth shut, your mouth shut.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
What up, y'all? It's E Color. What's happening?
What's goody?
I don't know. King Killer's in the goodie bag, something.
Yo, no, he's turning up his volume. Turn his headphones up. Yeah. Turn my headphones up, yo.
I'm reaching.
Turn my shit the fuck up, yo.
I can't hear myself.
No doubt. So, welcome back. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been in the digest, but we are back doing what we do and whatnot. Before we get started, is there anything pressing? Anything we might want to tackle?
Not that I can imagine. I did a post for us on Facebook for once.
once for the year?
I had to do it before the year went out. I'll get back on there a little bit, though.
That's what's up. All right, so I'm sitting here fumbling my phone between my phone and other shit so I can get the topics ready. All right, so let's do this. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest show is Dame Dash files for bankruptcy. Wow. Now, this is sort of in between because I saw two articles. In the first one, I saw Dame Dash files for bankruptcy. And then the second article I saw said Dame Dash spent years clowning folks for having 9-to-5 jobs. Now he may need one. And I'm going to say this. I've always had, I wouldn't say a love-hate relationship with Dame Dash. He was a music industry figure to me. But I always thought that brash ignorance, it would come back to bite him. Because I'm like, damn, nigga, you know, you just talking about regular working people. You just talking about regular people who go buy Rockefeller Records and things of that nature. You know, like, we don't have some sort of innate hustle in us if we just work for a living. I'll be honest with you, that's what I thought about Dame Dash. Now, did Dame Dash stand up for his artists? I don't know what his artists say. I don't know if there's a whole bunch of artists like Puffy, where the entire Bad Boy roster is like, yo, he was a snake from day one. I don't know if I heard that from a lot of ex-Rockefeller artists. Don't know. Dash is in real trouble. He's in real trouble. I'm going to read the copy. But go ahead, G. While I get my light together.
I saw that article. I didn't read it, but I did see the headline, Dame Dash files for bankruptcy. And I've watched over the years, because I guess it's part of my news feed. Anything that Dame Dash does or says over the years pretty much pops up on my phone. So I've heard a lot of speak from Dame Dash over the years. And I respect a lot, the hell out of Dame Dash a lot, because he's one of the people that actually speaks truth. Now, is he brash? Yes. Does he always kick himself in the ass a lot? Yes. Does he talk shit to the wrong people at times that he's probably gonna need later in the future? That's been proven. But I'm saying, this bankruptcy thing is, he probably still got more money than all of us sitting here, but he's filing for bankruptcy probably to protect himself, because his lawsuits is killing him from all these years, over all the years of shit coming after him. The creditors is coming after him. And he's a nigga that wants to live a certain lifestyle and then not pay for it. So it's coming back on you. And then you got this whole specter of these niggas that got you blackballed. Don't think they just got you blackballed from the music industry, sir. These niggas got connections outside the music industry. And any connections that they have, they're going to fuck you any chance they get to fuck you. So just like they said on the show, they fuck you at the drive-thru. Yes, Dame Dash, you're at the drive-thru and you're being fucked every chance they get.
So, go ahead, Swerve. I'll read the copy.
Yeah. I'm on record. I'm a Dame. I don't know how to say this. I support. I respect. I respect anybody that is going to climb that mountain that they made for themselves to be self-made, whatever it is. I respect that. I'm not so much with the brashness. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be brash to be successful. But I think that our community is being way too harsh on the bankruptcy. Bankruptcy is not always a bad thing. It's put out that way. It's a bad thing. It'll destroy you. No, it won't. There are several different types of bankruptcies, and those bankruptcies are used ad nauseum by people that you never would believe that have had bankruptcies.
Mr. Trump
records.
Has had several bankruptcies.
Oh, but he's the president of the United States, isn't he?
So let me say this.
Wait, no, let me finish.
Oh, okay.
I heard what you were saying, and I'm not going to, you know, go back and forth or make it about you and me, but Dame hasn't done anything wrong. If he does, tell me what he did wrong. Being brash, is that wrong? Or is it just unacceptable? He has been successful. He has supported his artists. You know what fault that I see in Dame is that he let love get in the way of business. Because I believe he really loved and messed with them dudes that he messed with in their era and their label and their work. But he didn't. He put that love over business. And when you're dealing with millions and millions of dollars, you gotta be about the business, as his ex-partner is to this day. So I think that we're being a little harsh on Dame. And like Kurt said, even in bankruptcy, he probably still got way more than what we dream of having right now. So what is the real issue here?
So let me say that we're not, I would say we're in terms of, Kurt G gave the example. Mr. Trump has several bankruptcies and has bankrupt several. I mean, we're talking about probably close to a dozen companies. Spirit Airlines, I'll be on that flight shortly, is in bankruptcy. So bankruptcy in and of itself is not a bad thing. But it takes a different connotation when you're a guy like Dame Dash being critical of the little person. Then bankruptcy takes a different connotation for you in the media. People are going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, now what, motherfucker?
But do you think he was literally being down-talking people, or do you think he was possibly giving people something to look the fucking else to look at to do?
He was talking shit out here in these streets.
I just got done watching an old-ass interview of Dame Dash on The Breakfast Club.
I don't want to hear about that.
At the end of the day.
Because your boy will be talking forever.
At the end of the day, this was Dame Dash's own words about working niggas. This was his own words about working niggas. So when the word Dame Dash files bankruptcy, you know, if Best Buy claimed bankruptcy tomorrow, you'll read the headline and then keep it moving, because businesses do that all the time. Okay. Yep. But there's no connotation for Best Buy to file bankruptcy. They do it, they move on. B, when you are a guy like Dash who, and I got another point about Dash too. I seen another clip where Dash is talking about Cam and Cam putting down other black men and your platform. You shouldn't do that. This, that, and the third. My nigga, do you really think if Dame Dash was sitting on $100 million, that would be his attitude? Let's be honest about who we talking about here. Okay.
We can talk about what we've seen.
I'm just saying.
About what we've seen.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So, yeah. But let me read the copy. Says the Rockefeller co-founder's debts totaling just over $25 million. He says he has no monthly income and has expenses of $2,500. He owes the.
I wish.
Right.
He says Dash owes $8.7 million in taxes to the state of New York and the IRS, and he owes another, I guess, almost $10 million to the IRS. I've seen a whole laundry list of California judgments and other New York and New Jersey judgments that people are basically circling the drain and trying to grab whatever they can get. I'm not getting on Dame personally on this. I'm just saying Dame is one of those guys who really, he's unlike any other executives. It's not wrong to be brash. You know what I'm saying? That goes back to the whole Shedeur Sanders thing or whatever, you know, why he shouldn't make the NFL because he was brash. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, we had a conversation earlier where Kerr G was like saying you may not want to put that type of energy out there in the universe, you know. And I just, you know, Dame's pendants for regular man criticism always bothered me. That's all I really got to say about that. His sort of, you know, when I'm standing up against a regular working nigga, you know, you don't have that Harlem hustle. You know what I'm saying? We inbred in Harlem to get that hustle. All right. Okay.
We don't speak the same language.
Yeah, right.
That type of shit.
But
I'm just saying, you can't to talk down on people like that and then them to celebrate you going into bankruptcy. That's going to happen. They're going to celebrate that because, nigga, you talk down to me. Now you're going to be one of me, nigga.
Indifferent.
So now we're going to speak the same language, right? Now how are we speaking the same language now? Do you understand about getting up and going to work now?
Right. Indifferent into a company like Spirit Airlines. That's just their headline, and you keep it moving. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know? So.
I get it, but, I mean, I'm going to accept what you're saying and respect it. But I'm not, I don't, you know, again, pregame, let me just say this. We don't celebrate another man's downfall.
And right. Nor death.
No, right.
Definitely not death.
And I don't think that I was alluding to celebrating that. I just was.
No, you're saying the general public.
No, yeah, that's where I was coming from with it. I was coming from the fact that I understand niggas that's celebrating, niggas that's talking down on him now, because at the time when he was up, he was talking crazy to niggas.
He was talking down
to regular niggas when he was up there, right?
And so think about
when you come down, that's what they're going
to
do.
And think about how easy that is. Think about how easy that is to TMZ and clickbait people who is like, oh, this nigga talked trash to regular working men for the last 20 years. And now,
and as you said, the gun is... Oh, no, I don't want to say that shit these days.
Not today.
No. He's already blackballed, so to speak, or whatever. He already got the bullseye. So, yes, TMZ. You don't think they know? They don't know that? They know all this shit. And they're going to get clicks and fucking likes off of it.
Right.
So, I don't know. He should probably just stay off the internet for a minute.
Well, he's not going to do that.
He's not going to. Right.
I know he's not, but I'm just saying.
I seen the nigga just getting on with it. This is where you know that this nigga's addicted to it. I just seen him doing an interview with an eye patch on.
Yeah.
Fucked up. Yeah. I'm like, B, do you not know what the optics of this shit is looking like right now?
Eye patch, teeth fell out before.
Right, teeth fell out. And you looking, and now you're bankruptcy. All this shit is all in the same. So niggas is looking at you, and from my point where I'm looking at it from, I'm looking at it from a health point of this nigga need to take care of himself because it's breaking him down internally. Maybe outside he's still showing that confident face and talking and saying what he's saying, but internally he's breaking down because you see his health breaking down because he's breaking down internally. So it's like this shit is eating you up inside from the inside out. It's eating you up.
And so I'm glad that you bring that point up. That's what makes it all the more, I'm going to say at this point, sad, because, you know, there's one thing where you do a lot of trash talking when the cameras come on, sort of like lights, camera, action.
Right,
I'm acting a certain way or whatever. But this is really who this guy is.
I ain't about to be sad for Dame until I see him get red foxed. If he gets red foxed, then I'll be like, damn. But he ain't getting red foxed, yo.
Not
He's
yet.
Still sitting on docks. making videos with eye patches or whatever the fuck.
Right, but he ain't paying for whatever that is. He's where he's in.
But he's there.
But he's at them spaces, and he's still got aspirations to be there, to be on that level, to be on a Jay-Z level. He's still got it in him to want to be at that level. But the thing is, you talk shit to these people back in the day that run the fucking entire music industry and outside the music industry, entertainment, period, these same people. So, and you're trying to get into spaces that these niggas run. You know what I'm saying? Even if they're not the face of it, behind the scenes, they're running the shit that you're trying to get into, so they're not going to let you in. They may let you get a little piece here and there. They're going to drop. They're not going to let you get but so much.
For the uneducated viewer, you should look up Dame Dash Def Jam Meeting. And when you watch that clip, yes, this is the seeds of everything being sown.
Yeah, exactly. Right now.
Done at that meeting.
And shit that he's done that you didn't get the chance to see in that meeting. He's probably been that way the whole time talking to these niggas.
Oh,
they just recorded it that day. So all these niggas from that, and guess what? Everybody was in that room, run the music industry. Run the entertainment industry. These niggas is running it. Shit. They on the top. They presidents. They run
But was
shit.
He wrong?
He was not wrong. Thank I agree you. With him 1,000%, but he didn't have to handle it the way he handled it.
No, he didn't.
But dude, he
was not wrong.
He handled it that way. He
we can let Lior Cohen get in there and talk crazy.
But Lior didn't. Lior always talking Lior crazy.
Right, and so is Dame.
So is Dior is Dame. Them niggas talk the same. But see, Lior is more respected and more feared.
I wonder why.
More feared than Dame is.
I wonder why.
They're the exact same people. But Lior's like, is running YouTube. Is running other shit. Running these shit that you're like, damn. These
and he's being an
shit.
Asshole about it.
And he's being a real asshole about being brash, and he's keeping Dame from being able to make it.
Yep, he ain't Dame, is he?
Because who's the nigga that was up at Rockefeller? Choke No Joke. Told a story about running into Lior one day in an elevator or somewhere, and they was talking. He was like, no, you remember me, Lior? And he was like, oh, no. He said, you don't remember me? I used to work for Dame. Oh, yeah, and I shut that motherfucker down. That's what he said. I shut Dame Dash down.
That sounds pretty brash.
Yes. But he's saying he shut that motherfucker down. And you think he's going to let this nigga even... He's waiting for this nigga to die. Maybe he'll let his kids get a little something. You know what I'm saying? So, shit. They got this nigga under their thumb. They're never going to let him up.
So let me repeat. I'm not celebrating any bankruptcy or anything of that nature. I'm just saying a little humility can go a long way.
On
the way out from this topic, I will just leave you... dinosaurs with this.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I gotta do it, and you understand. But while he's doing all that on social medias, he's getting clicks. And you know what those clicks, when you get the millions of views of, oh, look at Dame, all these comments, laughing, whatever, all you're doing is hooking up that algorithm. So he gonna get some money.
But he ain't able to get but so much. You know what I'm saying? Because what those algorithms equal is advertising dollars. And you could go to some certain company and say, look at all these clicks I'm getting.
Let me say this. I'm going to agree with Kurt G, but for a different reason. We're talking about Dame Dash because we know Dame Dash. We know Rockefeller. We know the story. We know the history. And he's an important conduit of that. But to the average cat, he ain't getting that many fucking clicks. And that many people don't care about him.
I'm going to look at his... thing and
okay,
see.
That's real. Well, update us. No doubt. Update us.
There we go.
Indeed. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, this is an overall another topic, but I feel like now I'm kind of in E-Grease space a little bit.
Oh, shit.
What?
When are we, and fill in the blank on who we are.
All right.
Is it we as dinosaurs? Is it we as African Americans? Is it we as rap fans? Who's the we? But when are we going to get over the importance of jail, nigga?
Oh, you are me.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, the embarrassing fall of Young Thug. There's a litany of things, and we're not going to talk about each of these because I don't know enough about Thug. But these are sort of the topics that I pulled out of several different articles. Is Thug a rat or a mouse?
Wow. What's the difference?
I don't know. leaked calls during the RICO case. Obviously, his leaked jail calls on the telephone and in the interrogation room. Boy, he's a chatty patty, isn't he? For somebody who's supposed to be a boss. All right. $50,000 saying that he bought Gunner's number one record. You know, this bot shit. Now, I did do a little bit of research on this bot shit. This is just fucking absolutely nuts.
You can definitely buy
you
shit.
You can, yes. That's for damn sure. Wet or dry snitching, Young Thug, as you said earlier, what's the difference? And a Young Thug snitching on some apparent real certified Atlanta peewee nigga shooting up Lil Wayne's tour bus and selling drugs and et cetera, et cetera. A lot of chatty, catty, patty, if you will, from Young Thug. And what my in feeling I'm in E Green space in is like, you know, Atlanta sucks.
Wow.
Hey,
because
I never said that.
No. Hold on. Let me finish.
Why does Atlanta suck?
Let me finish because other things that I had, the fall of Young Thug that I've read means the fall of Atlanta rap. And damn, it's like, this is so not true. So you got a couple of ex-drug dealers having difficulty and the total Atlanta rap scene is sunk? You suck because of those type of attitudes in a city with diverse MCs. And we'll talk about that later in the show. That's why I said that. Back to Thug. Why so much concentration on a ex or ex drug dealers having trouble selling records or having trouble with their reputation as jail niggas?
Clicks and likes.
It's gotta be more than that, man. It's more than that. That seems really important.
Dumbed down public.
That seems really
important. No. Listen, seriously. If this is what is the discussion, what is really the problem? The people having that discussion. Not that the discussion is being had, but the people that are having that discussion could be discussing something else. Something that's going to lift. That's what E. Green would say. We talking about a dude who got, first of all, he might have himself a lawsuit coming up because, as you said, leaked calls and discussions. So there's that as well. But small minds stick to small things, B. I don't think the whole Atlanta, but you did say rap, Atlanta rap, but I don't think it is done. I think this is just a sensational fucking piece of moment in the quick ass time lapse of the internet.
Amongst commercial Atlanta rap, especially those who represent this sort of this trap world that they come from. And it is now like the entire, like all those particular subtitles that I read about Young Thug, whether he's a rat or a mouse, and all these leaked jail calls or whatever, shows you that he a motherfucker who run his mouth and talking all this shit, but he just running his mouth too, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, Young Thug, another one, when he came out and people was writing how of a genius musically he was, and I didn't hear it, but then I get it, I'm a fucking dinosaur, so you know I don't speak that language. All right. So the genius is in effect. Is he? Where's the fucking music? Where's the genius? Where's the just make records? I mean, that's the only thing you could say about Gunna is that he got out and fucking just said, fuck it, I'm just going to continue to make records. You know what I mean? And stay out of the limelight.
He's bigger than his former boss.
So I'm just saying. So, but I'm asking you, G, or anybody who can answer, you know, the larger Atlanta commercial rap community feeling like, damn, yo, you're Thug fucking everything up.
So that's the question?
Okay. I'm just saying,
I'm gonna answer. What is the question? I'm gonna give you.
I'm just saying. The question was, and let me refrain back to when I was like, "Yo, Atlanta sucks."
Right now, that found that kind of harsh.
Okay, but I'm talking about the trap guys.
Okay,
the thugs and the gunners and the little babies and these motherfuckers. You know, these niggas running around driving in fucking Lamborghinis with felonies. These niggas. This is ridiculous. And why is that such a big deal for maybe the African-American community or maybe just commercial rap? I don't know where this falls.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try to give you an answer that fits since we're in my lane, somewhere in the middle. I'm going to try to get you an answer in the middle somewhere because I got a place to go, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to try to stay in the middle here. So the reason why, not just for clicks and likes, you were heading in a direction, Mr. Green. You were heading in a direction, but you didn't land quite land that. You didn't quite land it. I'm going to try to land it for you.
Help me out.
And then get it to the place so people can get off the plane. So I'm bringing it in for a landing. See, the average person, what they do is predicated on what their phone tells them they should be doing. If it's in their timeline, and I'm talking about the average rap fan, the average Negro that is into all this jail nigga, drill nigga, whatever nigga type of shit that's into that type of world, that's what they do. Whatever their phone is telling them is on, that's their feed. They're looking. Oh, shit. Everybody's talking about Thug. Oh, let me get in on this. Let me talk about him, too. So the average person is only doing what it's being fed to them. They're being fed this information, and so they're reacting to that information. To me, it's all distractions, but I'm not going to go that way. But that's what it is to me, because there's other shit going on that we should be paying attention to. But since we actually looking at this and saying, okay, damn, it's Thug. Oh, Thug was talking shit about Gunna. Now he a rat. Or is he a mouse? Because he was saying some stuff, but is he telling the truth? Or is he lying? Because is it really that easy to buy the number one spot? Really? Now we're talking. He's got off several branches we can talk about the shit that he was chatty-patting there about, as you said. So now niggas is going off, and now their timeline is taking them here. Now their timeline is taking them there. They're talking about all the shit that Thug talked about. And meanwhile, the average person needs to be concerned with the fact that they're rounding up all these niggas, the people that we say we're not down with them because they ain't down with us. Because once they round them up and get them niggas out the way, it's only eyes on us. And guess what? They're not fans of us either. So we need to not be worried so much about what the fuck Thug doing, a jail nigga, as you said. This jail nigga, Thug nigga, we shouldn't be concerned about this nigga.
I think it's kind of a simpler answer. And which your answer is actually pretty good. And I appreciate that. But this, and maybe it's an illusion or a diversion. Because I'm not saying that these guys don't have true street drug selling bona fides. Okay, maybe they do. And that's fine. But you've got this. Now you see the whole thing. Once the layers is pulled back, everybody who goes to jail starts wanting to get out of jail.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing is, so the whole fallacy to me has been pulled with Young Thug. The only thing he really did was really fully pull back the covers. And now you see the whole thing. This jail nigga, you know, after being this tough gangster, this drug seller, trapper, you know, whatever that shit, driller, you know what I'm saying? All this other shit. Shit's full of fucking niggas the minute they get in jail, want to call their mom. You know what I'm saying? Want to get, yo, and this nigga is talking to, yo, the first day you the motherfucking Lil Wayne and baby, nigga, well, I paid Gunna, and I did this, and, yo, that motherfucker is a punk. You know what I'm saying? Sound like a high school broad. You know what I mean? Just,
damn.
Even the high school got broads in them.
Hey, B, I'm just saying, B. So, I can't understand why. Now, we're talking about this on the Hip Hop Digest, no doubt, but just largely, this is going to continue to get, you know, as Swerve said, clicks and likes and people getting into this. And two, for you, shout to you, who was like most people only getting involved because it's just popping up on a timeline anyway. You know what I'm saying? But how about the conclusion? Can we come to the conclusion that you know, what did Buckshot say on the streets? You was tough stuff, locked up. You was sweet stuff. That's what it just
Dukes.
Yeah, ooh, that's what it comes down to. And Thug and every last one of those guys, Gunna, all is, yo, there's a difference between a snitching and an Alford plea. This nigga was flapping, and everybody does it. So how about the new narrative? Yeah, nigga, I come from that hard cocaine shit, nigga, but I'm going to be honest, if I get locked up, I'm telling. How about the real?
That's not happening.
How about the real narrative?
That's not happening. It's not happening.
It's very, very, very few stand-up niggas. Very, very few. And you can see that from the mob, all the mob shit they were talking about. These niggas get in there and start talking crazy.
Sammy the Bull.
Talking about everything. They can be the biggest killers. Real legitimate killers, drug dealers, whatever. But when they get locked up,
okay,
niggas change that tune.
So I appreciate that. But that's my frustration amongst at least even commercial rap fans. It's like, you know, the veneer is off the table. You know what I'm saying? The varnish is off the table. It's not like that. And now the next guy who talks about Shoot 'Em Up, you can like their music. Okay, I get that.
But there are, though, there are. King Von was one that literally did that shit.
There's several of them.
I'm not saying that these guys.
Come into that real world, there's several of them. I'm not saying that these guys. And talking crazy and then putting out records.
What I'm saying is that I'm not saying that these guys' street level work isn't bona fide. What I'm saying is that all this tough stuff don't translate to jail.
No.
What you discover is you so tough out here, but once you get in jail, nigga, you just a guppy in a shark tank, my nigga. You the big man out here, but when you get in there, oh my goodness, B.
And that's and I don't care what part of the country, you know, if you from West Coast, Piru, you know, all that shit, all the way to East Coast, you know, corner store bodega robber niggas. When it's all of y'all niggas land in the pen, all of y'all niggas is on some different shit. And if the community kind of would realize that, I think we can move on from that being a, instead of jail niggas crafting the narrative and all
we ain't
this.
Moving nowhere, baby.
Because
stop wishing.
Okay, and I got one more thing and we're going to get out of this topic. And my example is, I saw this quick clip. Actually, I was scrolling through the phone. At the VMAs, I guess Freddie Gibbs didn't want to sit next to the Gunner because he called. He was like, I ain't sitting next to that rat bastard. And I'm like, B, you're at an award show.
Exactly.
Okay. First of all, you're at an award show. And even there, now you're even there, you're crafting a jail nigga. I ain't sitting next to that rat bastard. Man, that's stupid.
That is stupid. Exactly. You're at an award show. You went to an award show, B. You're not sitting at the lunch table in a jail cell, my nigga. You're sitting at an award show.
Can you imagine?
Don't get to pick where the fuck you sit.
When Russell Simmons got those tickets so third base wouldn't get whacked on the West Coast, that Michael Jackson came in the arena and then Michael Jackson didn't even know who he was sitting next to. Michael Jackson just came in and sat down. He didn't know he was sitting next to
some certified gangster.
He just sat down because he's at an award show. You know what I mean? I don't get it.
They chose gangster, B.
Damn, there you go, betting on gangster. Nigga, betting on gangster comes back. That's an oldie but a goodie.
Oh, that is an oldie but gangster. That is an oldie but a goodie. Betting on gangster.
Yep.
I'll be. All right, let's get out of that, yo. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is we're blowing up.
Oh, shit.
Blowing up.
Oh, he going went back in the 70s up. On us.
Oh, yeah, he did. I'm trying to see where we're going at.
Yeah. We're going, where did we blow up to?
Yeah, where are we going up to?
I remember I said this, and I got hammered by E. Green or whatever. Shout to Alchemist. This is an Alchemist topic. Alchemist and Erykah Badu's on Drink Champs, but it's not about that per se. It's about another article I've seen where Alchemist says, don't let the $1 billion fool you. Jay-Z is still tapped in at the underground. Now I'm thinking to myself, dang, ALC, he hired politicking now.
Right.
He hired politicking.
He's trying to do that next album for Jay-Z.
Yeah,
Let me do the next album.
Yeah, he politicking now because, you know, he's been a busy guy. He's got the Erykah Badu project on deck. Everybody's talking about that. And Freddie Gibbs project is getting a lot of positive views. Me personally, I never thought I would say that Larry June's and 2 Chainz is something that I still listen to. It's really a gorgeous album. You know, lyrically, you're not going to be in love, but boy, Alchemist is really, those beats are just gorgeous. He's been a busy man. He's liable to be the producer of the year. And with the Erykah Badu, now he's, you know, he's going up. He's in the suites. You know what I mean? And now he's saying Jay-Z, now he's politicking. Jay-Z is still tapped in with the underground.
What side of the ground?
Nigga, I bet my entire paycheck, nah, which ain't that big, but I bet it that if I got a chance to run up on Hov and I'm like, yo, nigga, give me your top 3 underground, that nigga be doing this. Hold up. I guarantee it. No way Hov's into the underground. Alchemist is politicking, and that's the topic. With these type of statements, do you believe Alchemist is politicking?
Well, my answer would be if I had to, I would. Believe me, I don't want to because I still want to live in my house. But if I had to bet my entire paychecks on it, I would bet that he's politicking, that he's just bullshitting. He's just saying this to maybe get the ear of Hov to maybe let him do a couple joints on his next album.
Would you bet that Hov could name 3 dope underground?
If I'm betting my paycheck, which I would not want to, I would say no, because not based on anything that I've seen, but Hov doesn't talk much. So he could know everything that we said. We could be like, damn, oh, that I took a personal joint out. Yo, that's my favorite album right now. You'd be like, what, Hov? What? Not you.
Alchemist goes on to say that Jay-Z, additionally, he said Hov is extremely connected to everything. He is like, and he, from the smallest of the underground all the way to the large, meaning that I guess he's just keeping his ear in the street. Now, I remember we used to say that about a couple of guys. We used to say that about Puffy, because I used to, you know, at the Winter Music Conference for house music, I used to be like, damn, why is Puffy at the Winter Conference house music? What is he doing there?
Down there with all that baby oil, B.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, yeah, that may have been an ulterior motive. But I used to wonder why he was there. You know, maybe he was keeping his ear, you know, close to everything. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. There's way too many commercial guys, and I'm lumping Hov in, me personally, that when they get on the set, for the longest time, they was like, yo, who you like in the industry now? It's always the same names. Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and, you know, I guess Drake. Yeah, it's those 3 names. And so now, you know, since your boy, the Canadian, is getting, he's about to get paved over, and that's fine. But now, and I wasn't dissing him. I only say that he is now being elevated, J.I.D., you know, one person is getting paved over, and that J.I.D. is getting elevated. So it's sort of like Kendrick, J.I.D., and, you know, we don't know if Cole's going to survive much longer, but who knows? I'm just saying, but J.I.D. is now that name that people who don't know nothing about rap.
Kendrick Lamar!
Right, that was another oldie but a goodie.
Exactly. But now, you know, but they've elevated. J.I.D. is that new guy. That if you don't know nothing about rap, oh, J.I.D., nice.
So now, that's why I said, what side of the underground is you talking about that he knows? Now, is Jay-Z going to start naming the J.I.D. niggas that's coming up?
Yep.
From the underground? Or is he going to really name niggas that in the underground?
He's going to name the J.I.D. niggas. Just like every commercial nigga out there. The first is going to be Kendrick, J.I.D., and maybe one other. You know, maybe Freddie Gibbs. I don't know. I'm just throwing a name out there.
I want to secretly say I think that Jay-Z may still be into what hip-hop really is. But I would also think, and I'm just speculating, clearly, that to be a billionaire, you might have other things on your mind that you got to worry about than besides who's hot in the underground.
Oh, but the disclaimer was, don't let the billions fool ya.
Yeah, well, he can say that, and that's where I'm going to say, yeah, your boy is scouting.
Okay, all right, my man.
He out here stealing signals?
All right, see, Swerve bring it home. You see that? Watch Kerr G.
You can't disregard a fucking $1 billion?
Yo, B, Kerr G, watch that man. Listen to that man, because right now he's bringing it all the way home. He's like, this nigga is scouting. And that was the premise of the topic. Our boy, ALC, yo, he come from us. He come from our country.
No question.
He's as pure as it gets right. When it comes to hip-hop.
Right. And I think that now,
that
you
might
know,
upset some people that he's the pure hip-hop dude.
Oh, that might upset some right. people, yeah, but they'll survive. But that being said, now, you know what I'm saying, that he's in the suites a little bit. He's like, man, you know.
It's nice up here.
It's nice up here.
I'm in first class now. Right. Oh, shit.
But I understand now there's some politic things I might have to do. You know what I mean?
And he's doing it.
And he's doing it. So that was the gist of the that was the gist of the topic. It was the gist of the article. I'm thinking he's politicking. But you know what? How did you phrase it, Swerve?
He's scouting.
He's scouting.
I said, nigga out here stealing signals, I'm telling you. He's like, damn, let me see how you did that over there.
Damn,
oh,
he,
shit.
Damn, at the winter baseball meeting.
Exactly.
Let me be complimentary of right. Sugar Man.
I see how it worked for Just Blaze. Let me see. Can it work for me too?
Whatever it takes. You know what I mean?
And then Jay-Z might in turn, when he's not worried about his billions, might be like, oh, you said what? Oh. Yeah, matter of fact, that'd give me some more credibility.
Believe me, that popped up on Jay-Z's phone, on his timeline. Yeah. Wait a minute, somebody said something nice about me? Wait a minute. Niggas right. usually talk shit about me. Somebody said something nice about me? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
In defense of Jay, I know a lot of people say, you know, want to give him credit, and you should, you know, obviously the 444 Project. But let me tell you something, that record that he made with Jay Elect, I can't even believe he did it. I still can't believe he did it. I still listen to that record pretty regularly, because I just can't believe he did it. So in defense of Jay, you know, if Jay, who
but
can
you gotta hammer that though, because that was more a goddamn Jay album than it was a electronica album.
I mean, but the fact that he did it and was talking about some of the things he's talking about on that record, it's pretty amazing. So can you imagine? I'm just saying. Now let's get into fantasy baseball here.
Let's say he's telling the truth. Let's say ALC is telling the 100% that Jay is all the way tapped into the underground. And the shit that we talk about, the shit that I used to play at the end of the show, he know all them niggas. And he like, yeah, I fucks with that. Maybe that explains why he don't put shit out. Because he don't really fuck with the sound and what's going on right now. I can't get with this bullshit. I'd rather do this type of music than fuck with that type of music.
But again, back to fantasy baseball. But can you imagine if Jay was like, you know what, I'm gonna do a 5-song EP with Alk.
Here comes Alk. His beats are shimmery.
His beats are shimmery right now.
His beats are shimmery.
And it's amazing that the nigga, he's elevating, but his shit still sounds good. He hasn't took the luster off of his shit as far as hip-hop luster. His shit don't shine like a Timberland shit. His shit still does what the underground loves.
Oh, B, I'm trying to tell you. There's a lot of... I named the projects that are heralded and not even the ones that aren't. ALC, he's good money right now. And I'm just saying, can you imagine...
But you know what? It's easier for me to see how the
commercial people, especially people who rely on canned trap, would be clutching their pearls if he did a 3-5-song EP with ALC.
Their pearls have been stolen, nigga. Them niggas have been jacked clean. Their shit sitting up on blocks right now, B. They are done. Trap and all the trappings of trap are starting to fall off. And you can see that right now, and that's why they're panicking, should I say, at the thought of a nigga like Thug, one of their heroes,
right?
One of their trap gods,
right?
Is doing some shit like this, violating. Mm-hmm. Should you say, it's really fucking them up. Like, damn, B, we already were drowning. You could at least threw us a life raft, nigga. You threw a brick on us instead of fucking throwing us a life raft. So they really fucked up. So I'm thinking the game is already starting to switch over anyway. I don't know exactly where it's going. Country, wherever it's heading, the game is starting to switch over anyway. And the rap is starting to fall down. It's still getting high marks from certain niggas, but it's starting to fall off. And I could see this new shit with Alchemist being a top producer, especially if you get producer of the year. Now, you know what that does. That has everybody calling you from R&B across the lane, especially if Erykah Badu shit makes some noise.
Yeah.
So I can see the shit. Jay doing a whole album with this nigga with no problem.
Ooh. Yeah. All right, but that's just that's fantasy baseball though. That's pure fantasy. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is you have a lot of negative things to say about Shannon Sharp, Swerve.
When did I have a lot of?
Wait a minute, where you going, B?
I got very few things to say about Shannon Sharp. Oh,
okay,
bro.
And then belay that last transmission.
Thank you.
Belay that last transmission.
He tried to put you on one side of this show.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I ain't got nothing good or bad to say about that dude.
We talked about how he fucked up messing with that little white girl.
Yeah, definitely that, but the whole world saw that.
Okay, again, I repeat, belay that last transmission.
He needed you to be the ops.
Oh, okay. I got to play the op this time?
No, you don't, because we're all going to sing in harmony.
Oh, damn.
Oh, well, let's go.
Okay, let's do
one of the greatest things, if you haven't seen it, is the Shannon Sharp Scarface interview. It is worth the 2.5 hours. It is absolutely riveting. The whole thing doesn't even start out as a typical Shannon Sharp interview. He's out there with a live band, and they're talking about particular records, and he's talking about the process of writing. He's talking about in the studio, you know, exactly where he was and his thought process and how beats and things have come together. It's just absolutely riveting, you know. And he talks about, just like everybody talks about, speaking of Hov, talking about, I guess, when they were doing Guess Who's Back, and things really wasn't coming together, but the beat's playing or whatever. And he's like, you know how Hov is in the corner just humming to himself, mumbling to himself. And then Hov goes in the studio and shit and literally knocks the shit out and then bounces. And everybody's standing around the studio looking at each other like somebody better do something. It's so funny, but it gives you so much insight. It reminds me of, I would see rock bands get this type of treatment where they would sit in a very high-end interviewer and break down songs and show the genius behind that. But Scarface got this. And shout to Shannon Sharp for doing it this way. And they got to the regular couch and liquor, you know, montage, which was fine anyway, but they kept it 100% real. Talked about his heart surgery, talked about getting a kidney from his son. He talked about all the people who influenced him. A lot of people in the South, again, these people in the South lately who want to do all this different type of fucking changing up facts and history. He's named all the people that you would expect, the Big Daddy Kanes, the KRS-Ones, the Rakims, you know, and it's like point blank, yo, these people built this shit and you need to have more respect for them. You know what I'm saying? And Scarface was repping 100%. But of course, you know, repping who he is, you know, saying, talked a lot of Ghetto Boys. If you haven't seen it, you got to give Shannon Sharp a big pat on the back for that, yo.
I ain't giving Shannon Sharp shit for that.
See, now the op. See, there you
okay,
go.
See,
now I'm the op.
Now, I mean, I thought we was gonna come in and be in unity.
No. Now I'm gonna give you all credit for everything Scarface that has to do with that, but it just so happened to be on Shannon Sharp shit. That is more about Scarface than it is about Shannon in this topic to me.
I got a question.
Serious as cancer?
Who can take the average dancer?
I'm going to do it every time.
Who can make the average dancer hyper than a heart attack? Nobody's smiling.
We end up singing a whole song. So, all right. So the question is, see, and the reason why I'm giving Shannon, because you're not going to get this on Joe Budden. Nori's not going to do that. It's Charlemagne and Gallo and Willie or whatever
damn.
The
$1 million worth
Wallow.
Of game.
Yeah, Wallow and
give Wallow more credit than the other guy. Come on,
B. Man. I don't give. I'm just saying. See, you're not gonna get that high level of
of in-depth interview with the band and the whole high production. You're not getting that from these other cats, B.
Okay, so now let me bring this back home. Now, my statement is going to be 50-50. I'm going to give Shannon a lot of praise for doing that because, like you said, you haven't seen this in a while. You haven't seen this style of production of talking, especially to an MC or a rapper on a level that we, as being dinosaurs, somebody that we looked up to and reverenced and liked and loved their music. So, let me finish.
Okay.
So,
I'm sorry.
But I'm going to say Shannon Sharp. I'm going to give him credit for doing it. But I'm going to say Shannon right now, B, this is all he has. He has nothing else.
Okay.
No, let me finish. He has nothing else, B. He has nothing else to do. So he's throwing spaghetti on the wall right now, B. And he's trying to find out the certain what people are going to gravitate towards. More. Am I going to get more clicks for this style of interviewing? Am I going to get more clicks for this style of interviewing? What gives me more clicks? And what's going to make me my bottom line raise up a little bit more? And if niggas love this style, as you did, more than they love the regular couch shit, the regular liquor on the couch shit, and they say, oh man.
Killer, relax back there, man.
I'm going to let you in a second, B. If they like this style more and he starts to bring in the Big Daddy Canes and start to bring it, guess what? It ain't going to be long before he tries to get Jay-Z, before he tries to get other niggas up there and talk to him about the same style. In the same style, but he's going to be starting off with the underground niggas, well, underground to us. This nigga was top of the pops at one point, but yeah, that type of shit. He's starting out with these niggas. Before you know it, he's in there, and he's got Lil Baby on the fucking couch talking about how this and that and the third cap. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping he continues to stay in this lane where he's at. But I'm thinking he's throwing spaghetti right now, B, and he's trying to find anything that's going to grab it, make people move in and say, damn, this is what I like. I like this style of shit. And credit to him because he's doing it. Nobody else is thinking about doing no shit like this. So now you can
so
get
much
in,
for
B.
Kumbaya.
You're right. You can get in now, B. You can get in now.
I know and shit. Damn, niggas holding their own shanks.
Gotta put your own work in around here, homie.
You know what I mean? So first of all, I'm gonna say this is because, you know, anybody who's like, yo, Scarface is in my top five, there's no dinosaur who's gonna have an issue. Am I correct on that?
You are 100%. Mm-hmm. If you have Scarface, your number one, you won't have no argument for me. Right. I won't give you an argument. Yeah, he's your number one.
I'm talking about from certified 100% dinosaur niggas. You're not going to get an argument. No. Your personal top five niggas will be like, okay, I can dig it. Second of all, when I named all those other pods, who aren't doing that, and for Shannon to have such a high production level, and you got Swerve, who just totally curved that nigga, and then you 50'd him up. You 50'd him up. You know,
Wait, stop. Tell me one goddamn thing besides this show that gives Shannon Sharp hip hop credibility.
Okay. Are you nothing. Asking me? Okay. So if you're asking me, does Shannon Sharp come from the hip hop community? No. But are you asking me with the Scarface interview, which is done at such a high level that to me he bested every last one of them other niggas who was ex rappers
on that show?
Right. He could have, but matter of fact, yes, those other ex rappers could have done this first. This should have been one of their ideals right off the break.
I mean, I've heard so much shit. Nori, yo, what the fuck? I didn't know that, yo. Yo, just shout out to that nigga, take a drink. Off of this regular basic hip hop history, yes. I'm nauseated from that shit.
Well, yo, B, you handing out them trophies too early, B.
What it is because he's doing something that somebody else should have thought about 100 years ago, the beginning of hip hop, they should have been doing this same interview with niggas from the pioneers from the beginning. This same type of interview, this should have been happening as far as, like we always talk about them rock and roll niggas back
right,
in the day.
Right, right. So now I will say, I will take what Kurt G said, and you too, Swerve, to heed, because you're right. In 2 months, this nigga could have blackface on the couch and his whole credibility shot. His whole credibility shot. And for him, it didn't matter if it was Scarface or Blackface. It's just dope. And
that's where I'm looking at it.
That I take. I'm learning the lesson, gentlemen.
Oh, kumbaya.
I'm learning the lesson.
It's starting to come in together.
I'm learning the lesson because I guess because it's like, wow, that is so crazy that these other niggas with these pods. I mean, like, y'all niggas didn't think about this shit.
But you also got to remember who's funding those pods as well.
Well, I don't know the backstory. I know a couple of backstories about who's getting paid off of whose platforms, but hey, you know, I just was giving credit and thinking to myself, boy, if you run this the way that you set this up, this could be bananas for you. You know?
You don't have several rotations, B. You know better. You know better. You got to wait it out.
You got to wait it out.
I know.
Where's he going to go from here?
Excellence.
Exactly.
Right.
If this nigga's, you talking to me 20, 30 interviews from now, I'll be like, yo, this nigga's still doing it. He ain't done the whack one yet.
No, I got you. And like you said, the minute Lil Baby or Blackface show up on that couch, it's over. I get it.
Because you know them niggas don't even, you can't even talk to them type of niggas about the same type of production level and the same type of intricacy that you could talk to these kind, because hip-hop has changed from that time. These niggas ain't even in the booth together no more. Nope. I'm sending you a beat email style and you rap on it. That's just the way it is now. That's just the way things have happened. They're not in the fucking lab and you listen to me spit my verse and then I spit my verse as he was talking about Jay-Z and Benny Siegel and them niggas sitting in there talking and doing this shit. It's not that way no more.
No doubt. So, all right, we're going to keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, I'm going to turn over really to Swerve because this is the homework issue. And this is the second part of the Atlanta. Maybe Atlanta doesn't suck because.
Maybe it doesn't?
It
does not suck.
I'm just saying.
It does not.
You know, Swerve gave us some homework. And
I did.
All right, then let's get to it.
What is the homework, sir?
The homework, well, let me tell you how it happened. So, I got some folks I know around to do good shit. And one of them people would be Senor Kaus. And Illustrate got an album out called Echoes in the Chain. And he sent me that joint. And I was like, I won't tell you what I was like. I was like, I got to send this to Killing Kurt to see if we can get some homework on this. Speaking specifically, because we talk about, and I didn't know you were going to be so harsh. Harsh is the word this week. Harsh on, or brash, on Atlanta. But if we look past that shit that's on the surface, you know, that when you go out to your window in the car in the winter for y'all East Coast heads, you got to scrape that shit off the window. Then you get to the real shit. You can see. And in my opinion, this album helped me see a little bit more what Atlanta has to offer. So what did y'all think before we even get into these fucking grades and shit?
I know it's...
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I forgot to say. 12 songs at a tidy 38 minutes.
12 songs, 38 minutes. He's 8 minutes over. And two songs. He had too many songs. That's according to his status.
According to Kelly back then.
Tidy 10, 30 minutes.
Okay, so with that being said, you're going to allow Mr. Senior Chaos and Illustrate.
We're giving some leg room here?
Yeah, you're going to allow for excellence here. Ooh. Because the record is actually pretty good on a lot of different levels. Okay, shout to his partner Four Eyes, because
yeah.
Oh man, Four Eyes. He shined on this motherfucker right here.
Talking about rhyme animals.
So this is the thing. So as harsh as I was saying Atlanta sucks, right? there was no immediate pivot to guys in Atlanta like Senior Chaos, Illustrate, Four Eyes. There's no pivot. You got a rap community down there with real spitters and doing hip-hop music. My favorite record on there is Don't Front, because the cutting and scratching on there is just... And he got that Red Alert, Don't Front.
No, that's not Red Alert.
Who says Don't Front?
Nah. That's Buckshot. Oh,
is that Buckshot?
Yeah, Don't Front. You know I got you open.
Oh, okay. So anyway, that's my favorite record, yo.
it's got all the elements. Traditional hip-hop beats, traditional boom bap, cutting and scratching all over the record, that it's so important that guys miss it. It is simple, but it is a necessary ingredient. Guys miss it. Shout to you. I think that you sent the album that was the consensus album of the year that was on Wax. I didn't know it was on Wax. Vice Part 2.
No, I'm blanking.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I ordered it because, you know, that's...
Yeah, that Vice Part 2 was crazy.
Yeah, that Vice Part 2 is crazy. But I actually did order the vinyl, so shout to them. But all that being said, I didn't... It's hard for me to point out, like, one particular record that I was like, oh, I probably didn't really like that. Maybe track 12, The Eliminator, maybe. But I'm like, this record is really one of those, when I put it on, it was very easy to listen to. You know what I mean? I didn't have to struggle. There was no Wheat and Shaft. There's none of that. You know what I mean? It was just... Fuck it, I'm just going to get right down to it. King Killer's Letter Grade. And this is only me being a tough person. It is an A minus because when you got all the elements and you are living in an area of hostility, Atlanta Metro, for this type of art, you're getting an A minus. A, because the art was good, not because of props, cutting and scratching. B, A minus from King Killer on the new Senior Chaos. If you're
Chaos
and Illustrate.
And Illustrate. And
Illustrate, my nigga. Don't forget about Illustrate.
And if you want to be dead honest with you, that's what we're talking about here on the Hip Hop Digest. Atlanta has it. But they're living in hostile territory.
Hostile heat.
So my turn next. Now, I could be short and sweet, or I could just go ahead and run out of
beautiful. Do your thing, man.
Soliloquy out here. But see, this, when we talk about hip hop, and we talk about hip hop at its best, see, this is what we're talking about right here. This is the type of hip hop where you say, you know what, this is the lane that we're talking about. This is where, when niggas say shit is dated, the sound is dated. I don't like to hear dated, because to me, dated means that it's just traditional. It's made in traditional style. Nobody says that's a dated jazz album. Nobody says that's a dated blues album. If you have an 18-year-old playing blues or 18-year-old playing jazz, he's not playing dated jazz or dated blues. He's playing traditional jazz, traditional blues music. So when you hear somebody, or young people, I think dated scares young people away from wanting to do that dinosaur music. Even us, when we call it dinosaurs, it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. That's dinosaur shit. But that is traditional hip hop. That's the style that we're talking about when we say these niggas ain't hip hop, because they're not traditionally what hip hop is about. They don't adhere to the rules and follow the rules of what hip hop is all about. They do what they do. They follow the trap. They follow these drill niggas. They follow that, coming from a jail nigga perspective. They follow that shit. They don't follow what hip hop ain't got shit to do with what they're doing. They only following money. Hip hop makes them money. It's their new hustle. It's to make money. And they make money off of selling raps, slinging these raps to niggas. So, but these niggas, when we talk about hip hop traditional shit, we talk about niggas that do this when they ain't making no fucking money. They just doing it because they love it. This is what I'm talking about when I say hip hop. This is a nigga, Kaus, that's been doing it for a while. And we know he ain't rich, but he still loves to do this at a high fucking level. He ain't drop off because, oh, these niggas ain't coming to see me. These niggas, fuck this shit. Oh, fuck hip hop. He's going to continue to do it at a high level. He got an A plus plus for me because the art is at a high fucking level. And is at he got the number one spot because I had this album on fucking repeat. Repeat. Every time I got in the whip, it was playing. And I let it play all the way to work. And then when I got in the whip, it was still on the way back home from work, it was playing. So I was like, this shit is fucking nuts to me. This is crazy. This is lovely. And I love it. And he got the number one slot right now. There's only a few months left in the year, but he's got the number one spot.
And two, I think we're doing him a disservice because the name of the record is called Echoes in the Chain, Senior yes. Chaos, and Illustrate. Chaos. Yes, no doubt. That's the name of the record. Let me repeat that. Echoes in the Chain. It's got super plus plus A from Kurt G. It's got an A minus from me because I'm harsh on my litmus time stamp, but he's still got an A minus, which is super rare. Okay.
Super rare.
Okay, which is super rare. And the record also, Kings of Vice 2, was also out on vinyl, and which was our record of the year. Maybe it was 2 years ago, I think. So I didn't mean to interrupt, Swerve. Your homework, you assigned it. Please go in.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. And I am like pleasantly surprised. Like, not even pleasantly. I'm super surprised at your A minus. That's like a perfect score. You giving somebody A minus is a fucking perfect score, basically. And then on top of that, Kurt with the A plus plus. What are we doing? Programming here?
Yes.
We doing code?
Yes.
A plus plus. It's
the digital world we're living in.
Oh my God. So yes, that's my man's. You know that's my man's. But when I heard this album, I heard all the stuff Killer's talking about. I had all the respect for what Kurt's talking about. But my man's, these folks barred out on this shit. I've listened to a lot of Kaus, you know what I'm saying? But this shit, I haven't talked to him yet about it, but this shit to me was like, yo, he's trying to tell people something lyrically with bars. Stop fucking sleeping on me. That's what I was hearing when he was spitting on this shit. And I was like, oh my God, am I tripping? Because I'm folks with this dude? Let me let Killer and Kurt hear this shit to see if they hear what I hear. And apparently you did. Again, 12 tracks, which I'm cool with that, but I'm even more cool that it was only 38 minutes. Look, for me, I know Killer need that 30 minutes. I'll give you 45 minutes because if there's a record or two that I don't like, it's coming off my shit anyway. And I'm gonna just have the shits I like. So it's gonna be to the level I like anyway. But there is, to me, no skips, dude. There's probably one or two that I was not a favorite. I didn't, of the least favorite would be Martin to me. I like what it was about. I like how he did it, but it
I was actually kind of funny. I like
yeah,
that.
Martin.
Right.
But for you to say the Eliminator was one of your, was the lower point in this high album for you. When I heard that shit, I was like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, Eliminator's hot.
Man. Well, no, I was like, maybe. I said, maybe.
Let me go back and say, let me stop sleeping on Illustrate. Illustrate beats on this shit is crazy. From top to bottom, there's not a skip level beat on this motherfucker.
Nope.
So yeah, I know what you're saying. Martin was, if you had to say, was the most gimmicky out of everything
Rhythm
up there.
Rhythm spoons, nigga.
Yeah.
It was probably, but the point being, he's living in hostile territory, bro.
Yeah.
He's living in hostile territory. So
definitely.
When I'm talking to, and it don't even got to be young bulls. It could be ignorant ass old niggas, yo thug.
Yeah.
And I'm nigga, you ever listen to this Senior Chaos shit? you ever hear this nigga? You know, and then, oh, nah, that shit.
What
I
is
mean,
that?
Oh, wait, time out. Let me give him my A. Let me give him my A. So he got an A plus plus. An A and an A minus. They got an A plus plus, an A and an A minus. So they're solidified. That's a fucking dope ass album.
And they identify as hip hop, my nigga.
Yes, they do. Yes.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Ultra Beast United.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's your boy Four Eyes. Actually, of everything
and
awesome.
And I gotta tell you, and like you said, the end of the year is coming up. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna have some trouble, and not because of this record. I mean, it's an A, but I'm just saying, unlike other years past, I'm actually keeping a critical every time I listen to a record. I'm cataloging it. I'm like, okay, I got a list. And there's some things on some of them joints that I really, really enjoy. But I tell
That's
you
a
what,
good thing.
I tell you what. The highest compliment is probably going to be the highest compliment if I can get vinyl I order it.
And, oh, it's coming. And it's you can get it.
Okay, you can still get it. You can order it.
No, no, no. I know it's available
because I'm getting it.
No, I got the link. And oh, okay, okay. But I'm saying, and so ultimately, that's the highest form. You know what I'm saying? If I can get the vinyl.
Oh yeah, that is
awesome.
That's the highest form of appreciation from us is when we buy that vinyl.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, shout to all involved. I guess you know. I hope you guys didn't take it too harsh when I came in with that gunning that Atlanta sucks, but I
setting us up for this.
Hey man, I had a point to prove that
minus
Atlanta has got nice talent and MCs, but are they ever going to be able to breathe and represent?
You could see me at the A. King Killer gave a A. Kurt G gave a A for Atlanta.
Catch me at the A, huh?
Yeah. This exists. And it ain't, again, this is not to take away from these folks, but there is a lot of this in Atlanta. But it hasn't been the focus. Maybe this little kerfluffle will create space for this to be.
And we can hope. So, you know what I'm saying? We can engage in some fantasy talk here. You know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, them jail niggas, they not going to go away quietly.
Let's lead them at the beginning of the show, B. We're on something different now.
We done switch subjects now.
All right. So, yeah. I guess at this point in time, it is time for the albums of the week by our friends Matt and Peter, Digital Freaks.
Oh, that stuttering. He gave you a chance, Kurt. You want a guardrail?
I'm good. I'm here. He set me up lovely.
No, I was. Okay. I figured maybe I should come in slow. Albums of the week.
He said albums. You see how Matt, he had to do me?
Matt and me? Peter.
He brought me in on the short bus.
Digital Freaks.
It's probably said pause a lot in this show.
Shout to the Digital Freaks, Matt and Peter. Indeed. Albums of the week. Let's do it.
All right. This week brought to you by Matt, Evidence Unlearning Volume 2. That is a good album. I ain't going to front, man.
Oh, Evidence?
Evidence Unlearning Volume 2. That is a good album. And then brought to you by Pete, Ghostface Killer, Supreme Clientele 2. That's not bad either. It's got some joints in there. But
I don't like sequels.
But the thing is, when you name it something that's a classic, you already set yourself up for failure,
yep.
So, because you got to be on the same level as that,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
Or better. So, and brought to you by Pete is Ghostface Killer, Supreme Clientele 2. Brought to you by myself is Fashion and Mark Spano, Capital. That's Fashion and Mark Spano, Capital.
That's my man, Fashion. That's my man right there. Yeah.
There was a lot of discussion about that Wu-Tang affiliate in the goddamn text chain.
I'm a Ghost fan. I am definitely a Ghost fan, but I'm not, especially when your album is a certified classic. That's why I didn't like that Muddy Waters 2 shit, Redman.
Yeah, Muddy Waters didn't deserve that type of shit. Don't do that.
Nope. All right, well, before we get out of here, can I do something different? I mean, we're going to surprise y'all niggas. Can I do something different tonight on this show? The first person on the text chain and the first person on Hip Hop Digest Instagram that says what is the first record that King Killer ever bought with his own money is going to get T-shirt. Hip Hop Digest.
People don't know that
t-shirt.
Shit.
Oh, it's been said. It's been said. And it's been said several times. So
damn.
They can get a free T-shirt. You may have to go do some studying. You might have to shoot a note. No, Killer, who is that?
You got to put some breadcrumbs in the text chain. throw a half a picture of the album cover and shit.
Oh, see, that's on Killer. If he does that, that's on him. But once I see that, you got to get the text chain to get the cheat code.
So the reality is, I'm sitting back and I'm remembering, but it was two records. So any of the two,
either of those two, because you know what they were. You were there.
All right, I'm not going.
We trying to give out some T-shirts, B. That's what we trying to do.
All right. That's what's up. You got it. Swerve, we giving it away. King Killer's first records with my own money. There's two.
Money.
There's possible two answers. That even gives it an even better shot of getting it.
And if you're on a text chain, you might even get a hint. Who knows?
I don't know about that, but...
King Killer said, you got to earn this.
You got to put in your own work around here, homie.
All right. So thank you for riding with us. And, you know, we'll get back when time allows.
There it is.
Peace.
One.
Out.